You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Back in the 90s, I was in a California high school. And my friends Lexi and Doggett, Lexi and Doggett were probably 4 years old. And we're here to talk about BoJack Horseman Season 6, Part 1. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Doing all right, man.
All right, I am Bradley Martin. I have Lexi and Doggett with me.
Hello.
To talk about BoJack Horseman Part 6, Season 1, streaming on Netflix as of last week, Friday, October something. Lexi, you're a huge fan of the show, and we don't get to hear from you often, so why don't you give us a synopsis of Season 6, Part 1?
Oh, there's a lot of things in this season that's been happening, but basically the gist is that BoJack finally goes to rehab. About time.
finally
goes to rehab for his alcohol addiction and all of his other drug addictions, and kind of we start off with the season, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. They're not like together really anymore. Like Princess Caroline's got a baby now, adopted baby. Diane is doing some news reporting around the country. And then Todd, well, he's still around, you know, he's just doing his own thing, you know, like how Todd does.
Yeah, like a 20-year-old who falls into random mishaps that are sidelines to actual plots. So that's his lot in life, right?
It's
now.
A lot of falling ass backwards into success, which I don't understand the concept of that, but it seems fun.
I know, right?
I love that.
I want his luck.
Falling up into success, yeah. I do that all the time, actually. That never happens for you, too.
Bradley, you slipped and fell and had a family.
Hi, what's your name? And now I'm a father and husband. So this is only 8 episodes, and just as you put, it's about BoJack's struggles with rehab, understanding rehab, social commentary on rehab, the face of depression, and a lot of other existential themes that a lot of shows don't even bother tackling. Were there any... hey, Doggett, are there any favorite themes this season that you liked or would recommend?
Man, I'm always prone to Princess Caroline's storyline, especially her. Like, it's always her episodes are always special. There's always something special about it. And this season, like, does an episode about everybody. I mean, Princess Caroline still stands out. Like, just like the image of her. Multiples of Princess Caroline just having to do all this stuff, but then you're realizing, oh, it's just one person doing this.
Yeah, I have to agree. That was probably one of my favorite storylines this season was Princess Caroline. Cool. She's already one of my personal favorite characters, but I'm, you know, being the girl here, it's so relatable for, like, women to kind of see, like, an everyday working mom or working lady, basically, trying to, like, balance all these, like, crazy things, and it can be so stressful, like, I myself am not a mom yet or anything, but I know so many women that have to, like, balance all these things, like, balance, like, a career or balance having kids, and it's, like, it is so stressful, and it was really funny to kind of see, like, Princess Caroline dealing with that, but also, like, in the L.A. sphere, where it's, like, they try and kind of glamorize it, you know, like, oh, we're strong, working women and stuff, and yet, like, it kind of, like, hides the stress and the complexity of dealing with those problems.
The good thing about this episode was it doesn't end with them kicking you in the balls like that one episode where, like, it's showing her kid in the future.
Oh, that's a great episode.
I thought it was pretty
great. It makes me feel better. It was an incredibly bitter, depressing, sweet ending that was very sad. Was that season 4 or 5? I think it was season 4.
Yeah.
Maybe. I can't remember, but that was a great episode.
Season 4 is my favorite season, but this season, I think, is a bounce back from season 5, which got mixed results.
Yeah.
We don't have to dwell on that, unless you want to dwell on that.
Well,
what are you guys' feelings about season 5?
I didn't enjoy it as much, but it was the natural, like, progression of what BoJack is. It just wasn't like you. We were watching a show about a person getting better. We had to remember, oh, they're still kind of bad. They have a long way to go.
Yeah. Like, he needed to kind of have, like, a moment where he realized, this can't keep happening. Like, he can't keep going on like this.
And unfortunately, the points in your life where you realize you need to change are usually the points where you fuck over a bunch of people.
And you hit rock bottom. It's very true, honestly. That's where the biggest changes usually happen, and sometimes it's, you make a mistake, and then you realize, oh, that was bad. Oh, something needs to change.
Like, season 4 ends so hopeful. That's Hollyhock season, and what's it called? It ends on a note of BoJack kind of realizing he's not alone. And then the season 5 happens, and you realize, that's not enough. Oh, God, it's not enough.
And I kind of wonder...
No, that's great advice, though, because it isn't enough. If you want to be a good person, that literally has to start with you.
You know how depressing
the people around you. Yeah.
You know how depressing it is to hear being happy isn't good enough to be happy.
Well, I loved season 4, and a part of that ending is why, because it's, you know, a very mostly hopeful ending, but not hopeful in the sense of this means he's going to get better, but hopeful in the sense of this broken horse, who's full of toxic behaviors, is finally able to set aside his own bullshit and see something positive. And that rarely happens for this guy. Like we find in this season, when he becomes a drunk, it's because he's spilling out all his toxicity that he keeps bottled up on other people, and alcohol helps him do that incredibly well. But Alexa, you were going to make a point. What do you got?
Oh, I think I may have actually, the train left on what the point I was going to make. But I think we could turn this train around. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think you're making a great point that, like, yeah, like, he's just, I think BoJack's biggest problem is he's always blaming other people, and he, like, he's, like, consuming, like, alcohol and all that. Like, it just kind of makes the problem, like, worse. And I kind of feel like there was a character this season that kind of almost, like, showed it, like, I feel like it showed BoJack a little bit of, like, oh, like, that's kind of like me when I get on alcohol a little bit. And he, it was kind of funny, like, he was, like, kind of bouncing off this character, and he ended up becoming his own therapist in a way because of it. He was just like, oh, right, yeah, you can't do that stuff, oh. And he's like, oh, is this what therapy's like?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, is this what therapy's like?
I thought it was,
speaking,
like, pretty
of
great.
The characters, you know. Yeah, we all liked Princess Carolyn, which I also liked. That hilarious joke from Vanessa Gecko where she's like, is that a fussy baby? And we're all going to have friends if we all have children that will be better with kids than we are. And it is annoying as hell when it does happen. But it does happen, and it is a relief. I thought that was a great joke. I shouldn't have brought it up because now I don't want to spoil the joke, but it's so funny. What did you guys think of the overall humor of this season? Not enough jokes, too many jokes, or just right?
Just right.
I kind of have to agree. I was getting, like, a lot of, like, good laughs, but at the same time, when it knew to, like, take things seriously, it did. But I think it was a nice balance for the season.
No, I agree completely. A lot of the first season of BoJack, they had some cutaway gags, a la Family Guy, which is best known for it. Like, season 1, he's like, oh, this is like that time I saw that pigeon throw her baby out of the nest. And it shows him and a pigeon by a window, and the pigeon's like, I thought he was ready. And BoJack's like, it's not your fault. But I enjoy cutaway gags, but I'm glad they lightened up big time on that and rather kind of integrated random zaniness, especially through Todd,
into
the show without cutting away into some nonsense.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of found their natural, like, humor. Because I've noticed that with some shows where it's, like, they start off, like, with, like, some different ways of handling their humor. And then, like, as it goes on, they kind of, like, get into, like, a natural groove. And they kind of refine it a little bit more. And then, like, by that point, it's, like, it's just kind of golden. It's like, ah, that's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, my favorite joke from Todd this season could have easily been a cutaway gag. Because it was just a small tribute to Ang Lee films. But it actually integrated itself into the story that was being told, and I thought it was great. I actually play that clip all the time because it makes me laugh.
Yeah, I love like now, all the I love all the random like celebrity references or like turning celebrities into like the different animals in their world, like what was like Cindy Crawfish instead of Crawford. I got a big laugh out of that one.
A lot of animal puns always hit the mark on the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's this one animal I'd never thought even could imagine to be anthropomorphized, sorry for butchering that word, into a person. And it really, I think, this character, she speaks to how the season actually goes. Like this very serious, well-drawn, powerful female character. But because of the animal she is, she has to make random, ridiculously silly noises.
Oh my gosh.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The funniest joke of the show is when they finally reveal who Samantha Gecko is, and you meet her, and oh, she's a person.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, she's going to be like a gecko, right? That's obvious. And then it's not at all.
What'd you all think about the changing the opening titles?
Oh, I thought it was really cool, honestly. I feel like it kind of symbolized that like BoJack is willing to kind of confront his demons and at least actually willing to change. Because I kind of feel like the openings and stuff kind of like, they kind of like show like little glimpses of like his life and how it is. Like throughout the whole show. And I feel like this time, like, now that it's like so different from the other ones, it's kind of like representing that he's actually taking steps now to like actually change and change his life around.
Yeah, absolutely. And the show's always hinted at the blackouts you get from being a raging alcoholic. This opening scene and this whole season actually. And I never thought of this. I've read some memoirs from alcoholics, mostly celebrities, and they don't get into how awful life seems when you can remember it. And that was an incredibly depressing thought, but really transcendent in how we should all treat each other and appreciate each other's presence. Now, Mr. Peanut Butter is one of my favorite characters. Doggett, what do you think of Mr. Peanut Butter's storyline so far?
Well, as y'all can tell from my name, Mr. Peanut Butter is my spirit animal. I aspire to be like Mr. Peanut Butter. If I cheat on somebody, I hope to act the way Mr. Peanut Butter does, which is just complete dread the entire time. Just complete awfulness and feeling awful about yourself. But also, maybe I'll keep it to myself. Mr. Peanut Butter is amazing, and I loved his storyline. Especially, there's a line in this show where he pretty much he's talking to a character, and he's just telling them, "Hey, you jump on as many dicks as it takes."
I think like his episode was probably one of my favorites all season, honestly, because it was just so it was so funny. I kept laughing so hard at like all the little gags and like all the things that were like happening it throughout this like whole episode.
But every season of BoJack has like a special episode, like where like the shit, I'm saying like five times again, like damn it, there's an episode in the series where he's underwater and the entire thing is silent, and it's a beautiful little episode, and I lost my fucking point.
Oh no,
you guys proceed.
That was season 3 when he was Oscar campaigning.
Oh, what I was saying was in this season there's an episode where they play on the surprise birthday party or surprise engagement thing. And that is the most hilarious the show has ever been, where they're just talking shit about people and they don't realize they're there.
No, that is a great episode, cuz
like Gary from the gas station. Like Gary from the gas station. Fuck Gary from the gas station.
You see a tear go down his face.
I don't remember how I know that guy, but screw that guy.
Single tear.
Oh. A great episode, and that is a great character. I'm finding that Mr. Peanut Butter, all of them are able to relate to their animals in little ways. Like BoJack will randomly say something like, "Well, I was on my way over, but then I saw a plastic bag in the wind and got spooked." Well, that is something that a horse can get spooked by. But Mr. Peanut Butter, more than anybody, played by P.K. Thompson, great underrated comedian, is so much like a dog. Like this season, if anything, showed, and just through his performance, what unconditional love and loyalty is from a dog. I know people listening are like, what? Didn't he cheat on his girlfriend? But like you said, you hop on as many dicks as you can to get us back together. And That is insane and reckless, and that does sound like something a dog that just loves you and doesn't want you to leave would say.
It's true.
They
love unconditionally.
Yeah, that crazy unconditional love we all say we want, but nobody is ever going to commit to. That's insane. Or not. I don't want to get depressing here.
It's probably why I love animals so much. They just love you regardless.
Do you guys love your spouses that much?
I would like to think so. I definitely love Justin that much.
That took a moment to answer, guys. That was 3 seconds of moment.
No. I think that if my wife's listening, she'd be thinking, I don't love him that much. That's insane.
Oh, my gosh. To be fair, I think dogs just have this overabundance. They have this overabundance of love that I'm not sure even us humans can fully comprehend, to be honest.
Well, it's not like Mr. Peanut Butter cheated on her with a waitress. It was, another person he also has a lot of love for.
At one point.
It's true, yeah.
Loved unconditionally, yeah.
Who was emotionally manipulated by them for a good amount of time.
And we should finish off the review here with Diane. What'd you guys think of Diane? I know that a lot of people say she's an incredibly problematic character, mostly because her full name's Diane Nguyen, voiced by Alison Brie, which is a white actress, which about 2 years ago a lot of people suddenly started taking umbrage with. What did you guys think of that performance and that character this season?
I think that is the most enjoyable she's been in quite a while.
I kind of have to agree. She's definitely, to me, one of the weaker characters and my personal least favorite. And I personally have no problem with Alison Brie. It's voice acting. I'm not really going to see her face anyway. I'm going to see the character's face. But, right. I've always felt Diane was just kind of she kind of brings her own problems onto herself a little bit. And then, is always bemoaning them. And I can't really describe exactly what it is I don't really like about her. I'm just not fond of her, I guess.
Fiona Gallagher from Shameless. It's her and BoJack are these characters where I think people aren't realizing that maybe the show isn't about them getting better. Maybe the show is about, these are dysfunctional characters, and this is kind of how dysfunctional people act. Diane is an adopted child. No, she's not. She's not adopted. Well, she kind of feels like it. She's a Vietnamese kid from Brooklyn. Where is she from?
Oh,
I think she's from New York.
Yeah.
From New York. And she's got
not from New York.
This white trash family. She's got this white trash family who is not white.
No, and they're always putting her down, but in ridiculous ways. Putting down someone who's trying to be successful. Look at Diane. She thinks she's above it all, living out in Hollywood. Too good for her family. And I think that's where she's most relatable to a lot of characters. But I agree, I don't understand the Diane character at all. So I actually enjoyed this season a lot because she kind of comes out and admits she doesn't really understand why she feels the way she does about things and what she's supposed to do about getting help. She doesn't need help because she herself at times feels she is above it all and has to be. And this, like you guys were saying with the Princess Carolyn episode, women are, for some sick reason, even still, expected to not only want it all, but have it all to be considered successful individuals. That's horrible. I am glad that I don't have to deal with that. I literally could yawn anywhere and people would be like, oh, why are you tired? And I could say, oh, I'm a father. Oh, you yawned and you're a father? You're a good dad. But if a mother yawns, holy shit, people would be like, what's wrong? Didn't want your kids after all?
That or I personally worked with some girls who have worn makeup every day, and then one day they choose not to wear makeup, and everyone's just like, "You look so tired," and I'm just like, "They look just normal." It is horrible, yeah. And I'm just like, just let them live their life, and they don't want to wear makeup or anything or try and do it all, as you said. Let them do whatever they want. But yeah, there's some weird thing in society where it's like we don't really think about that, I guess. So.
One of the best Diane moments is where she meets a person's friends, good friends, and she's just so uncomfortable. And there's a point where she's in the restroom and suddenly somebody barges in and tells her, "You need to leave right now." And she's like, "Got it. Done." It's like, "You need to go out the window." "Yes, sir, I do." And, like, she just climbs down the window, no problem. Like, can you throw my stuff out? Like, they toss her suitcase out the window, and she grabs it and bails, and she could not have been happier how that situation went.
Yeah, she didn't even question it. She's just like, I'm out. Nope. Social situations? Nah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And I think...
I'd say the only other character I've seen really show anxiety to that degree on TV would be Sterling K. Brown in... Is it called This Is Us? Yeah, that's the one. But I found it fascinating that, like you guys were saying earlier, this is the season where everyone, every character decides to actually address their demons and, you know, stopping the run for them. You know, Secretariat earlier in the show ran and gave advice to always run from your problems. So it's nice to see the people turning and facing them head on.
Yeah, I think... My personal bit with Diane, or my personal favorite bit with Diane, was there's like a scene where, you know, she's talking to BoJack and she's kind of like, yeah, this is definitely my problem. I have a problem, basically. Like she's kind of dealing with like some depression, basically. And it's kind of like hard for her to like admit it. And as somebody who kind of deals with like on and off depression, it can be really hard to like admit and be like, oh, right. Like I have been doing like all this stuff, or been doing nothing for that matter, you know, and kind of realizing like, oh, right. Like, I guess I haven't been paying attention, or you just kind of you don't want to like throw your problems on other people sometimes. I know I can be that way. I'm like, I don't want to like make somebody else feel bad just because I'm not feeling good, you know? And so you just try and hide it. And I feel like that was like the scene where I felt Diane was most relatable, where it's like, she just kind of realizes that like, oh, right. I have been dealing with this.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that was pretty cool. Well, let's jump into our final thoughts here. Unless, Doggy, you have something more to say?
Oh, I was just going to say one small thing. I'm just kind of happy this season they really, really, really finally acknowledged BoJack's old. Like, I don't know why in my head I always pictured he was, like, maybe 39, 40. No, he's older than that. He has to be older than that. They finally showed what his natural hair color looks like.
Oh, I actually love that scene. I was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, right, he's older, but, like, he's one of those guys that, like, dyes his hair all the time.
What I like about the season is there were no nut punches because they are saving their energy for the second half of this season. There is so much foreboding happening here,
I know,
especially with
so much
how the
up.
Show ends. Oh, my God. I don't know about you guys, but my chest tightened up at the last episode. Last episode. It's like,
I'm so nervous.
It's like the end of it's like the end of the first part of Breaking Bad.
Well, I don't know. You can't really live the way this horse man has. And I don't want to say get away with it, because he certainly has gotten away with a lot if you've watched the show recently, like I have. But, you know, those crows come home to roost. But this time, the crows just happen to talk and wear badges.
Well, the reason it affects me personally is because it shows, like, it's not about how it treats them. It's how it's going to affect everybody around them, especially the last person who is in the scene of the show. It's like, how's this going to affect her? The person who, like the several people who just want to move on with their lives, who don't particularly want, like, to do with any of this. How that's going to affect them, or like, wait, should they be more active about this or not? It's like, I'm curious to see how this show ends. I'm so like excited for it.
I know. I'm like nervous but excited, because I'm like, I hope I kind of don't know what to expect. I'm like, are they going to just like at the end be like, and this is all miserable, everything sucks, or is it going to be kind of more bittersweet, or is it actually going to be pretty hopeful? It's really hard to say, I think. I do know it's building up to something, though. And it's going to be big. So
we're all predicting that Todd's going to be named King of the Seven Realms, right?
Yes.
Hooray for Todd!
Yeah. I would accept that.
Well, going into final thoughts here, I'm going to start. I enjoy that this show actually has a pretty incredible through line. One of those big through lines being Sarah Lynn, voiced by Christian Schaal. A little girl in Horsin' Around that, you know, grows up through Hollywood. And if you watch the show, you know what happens to her. But everything comes back to that. And that's the major catalyst. Did I say that earlier? of BoJack's toxicity, essentially, and how that's going to turn out. I'm very excited to see. I'm sure I won't be too depressed about how this ends because I just love the show so much. And there's a lot to really learn from this. It's one of the few shows on TV that's actually tackling serious issues that everybody deals with. Like, this season had the face of depression. And since the character they choose to be the face of depression is kind of mocking Hollywood that wants to get involved in these issues, but also saying awareness is awareness. You know, take it when you can get it. So I think that's pretty interesting and cool. So I'm very hopeful about the next season. This is a huge step up from season 5, which was very well done, but pretty much misery porn from beginning to end. So very tough watch. It's one of the few I haven't binged multiple times. Excellent cast, tons of great cameos. One of my favorite cameos is by Ben Schwartz, who plays Rutabaga Rabinowitz, I think it's pronounced.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got so much energy and charm when he's portraying this character, and he says the most silliest stuff that I love to say to my kids, and they don't understand the reference, so that just makes it more funny for me. I recommend everybody watch this show. I'm giving this part one an 8 out of 10. Let's see if we can raise the bar a little bit further for the final seasons coming January 31st. Lexi, why don't you give your final thoughts next?
Overall, I really enjoyed it, and I kind of agree. It's definitely a bit of a step up from some of the previous seasons. Granted, I didn't like hate the last season as much as everybody else, I think, but I do think that this season felt a lot more enjoyable, and a lot of jokes I felt were kind of like better, and it wasn't quite as like miserable as like the last season. Like, there's a bit of like optimism and hope to it, and I really like how the show can be. I kind of appreciate it. It's like it's kind of looking, you know, because it's, you know, produced like in like Hollywood, of course, and it's like very critical of Hollywood, and it's very critical of the very negative like LA Hollywood culture. Well, but it,
or
like,
Hollywood.
Yeah, or Hollywood. Like, it kind of critiques it and kind of, like, looks at it. But at the same time, it kind of makes fun of itself and still stays, like, somewhat lighthearted at times. And also, while dealing with problems in Hollywood, it's also deals with stuff that a lot of, you know, everybody else can kind of deal with as well. As you mentioned, like, the face of depression and things like that. But I kind of feel like it deals with it, like, in a... It kind of deals with it like in a more complex way than you see like a lot of other shows dealing with topics like this. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, it's not everything is like so black and white. It, you know, people are not like, you know, are not that simple, honestly. Like, it's, you know, no one person is like just like the worst. So they can do some like worse stuff. Like, sometimes even the worst people can like have good sides to them. And it's so hard to comprehend that sometimes and kind of be like, oh, right, like, people can really be that complex. And as we see with BoJack Horseman, it's like, he's not like, he's just a very, very flawed person who came from a very horrible background. And it's just kind of him. He's kind of like relearning, almost like relearning how to like, be like mentally healthy and everything. And everybody else is kind of like learning the same sort of stuff, to some level, but he, of course, being the main character, is relearning that most out of everybody. But at the same time, there might be some consequences, which is also appropriate. So I'm really excited to see what the next season will bring. And at the end of the day, I just really enjoyed it. I had a lot of good laughs from it. And I love that the buildup that I've got for their next part of the season, I should say. And I think I'm going to rate it probably honestly like a 9 out of 10 oven mitts with porcupine quills.
Aw, adorable. I didn't give my rating anything arbitrary. I'm going to go 8 sock puppets in 10 Ang Lee plays. So, sorry, Doggett, I probably just stole your rating. What do you got for us?
Okay, so before I give my rating, let me get a consensus here. Do you guys think BoJack deserves redemption?
Man, buddy, I've been alive long enough to know that it's not about what you deserve. It's about what you believe. And I personally believe in love.
Aww. I like that.
That's from Wonder Woman. I'm just quoting Wonder Woman.
But the show already told us love isn't enough.
I personally think...
No, love... Oh. Love, it's not that it's not enough, man. But you have to love yourself first to love other people. Same goes with respect, trust... a lot of other emotions that you should have. And being sad is okay. It's going to be okay. When you're sad, it doesn't mean that you're broken or no good. A lot of people are broken. There's a lot of broken things in me that nothing's going to fix. Facing that and realizing that it's okay is how you can learn to be more mentally healthy. Anybody listening that got a little serious, please go listen to these type of words from experts and people with degrees and certification to help, especially if you feel you need the help. There's nothing shameful about that. And I implore you all to go live and be healthy mentally, physically. There's absolutely, again, I can't stress this enough, no shame in it. I personally wish that everyone was required to have a therapist. I think that would make the world a better place. Anyways, Doggett, I'm done with my rant.
We got the, we got the male perspective. Okay, Lexi, represent all women. Go.
I kind of feel very much the same way. I mean, like, you know, I think that, you know, if you feel like you're feeling down about anything, even if it's like, even if you don't like necessarily suffer from like any like long-term mental illness, like maybe you're just like, maybe you, or like don't have like the best relationship with an important person in your life, like seeing a therapist. I have personally seen a therapist, and I can tell you it can help so much. And don't feel ashamed, don't feel scared. Like, and I personally come from the perspective, I believe people can change. I know I have personally changed. I have gone through bad phases of my mental health and everything, and I know for a fact that things can get better. And even if it's like really tough and everything, and I believe people can change personally. That's just my personal viewpoint. I have seen people change. I feel like I have changed myself. And granted, I appreciate that BoJack shows that there's a very complex side, and I do think that there are consequences if like you make bad choices while you're mentally ill. But at the same time, even if there are consequences, at the end of the day, it's what's in your heart and it's your intent. And if you make a conscious effort to change, you can change. Not everything sucks, at least in my personal opinion, so.
Yeah.
Go okay, out there and get well, help if you need it.
Very good.
My rating is brought to you by BetterHelp. Type in oneofus.net, betterhelp.com. Okay, well, anyways, I would just say this is a very special show to me. The characters who have grown along the years. I have shown BoJack Horseman to so many friends, and I've seen how it affects them differently. And it's fun. That sounds terrible. It's fun to see the different episodes that make them cry. It's amazing to see how what kind of emotions the show can bring out of people, and what they think of people through the show. I think is really amazing. And this season, really, I think it's the season. I think a lot of people who didn't want to watch BoJack is going to be the season where I can finally start convincing other people to watch it. Where it's like, hey, look, there's some roosters coming home to roost.
Crows come home to roost.
They're coming, and they're going to be in humanoid form. It's going to be a trip. And this season, oh, man, it left me gasping for air, wondering what's going to happen next. I got to give this like a 10 out of 10 just for these 8 episodes. Every episode is strong. It has a great narrative story. You're getting like, you're inside the head of a character without needing an internal monologue. And I got to give so much respect for that. This show is a 10 out of 10 activities Princess Caroline is juggling.
Nice.
What was the name of her baby for the longest time?
Undisclosed. Untitled Princess Caroline Project.
Yeah.
There's also a joke in the show about that too. It's great.
That's going to be a great show. I can't wait.